Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to examine what John taught about testing the spirits. So let's open our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, again together. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, on the last broadcast, we were going over just who John was referring to here in verse 1 by looking at the three major heresies that attacked the church during the age of the apostles. And we've gone over the heresy of both the Judaizers and the Antinomians, who fought against grace from two different sides. And today, I want to look at the third major heresy which crept into the church while the Bible was still in production. That is the heresy called Gnosticism. Now, Gnosticism is a lot like the modern so-called New Age movement in that there isn't just one kind of Gnostic beliefs, but it's an entire collection of offshoots of that paganism. Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means to know. So the Gnostics put great emphasis on what they'd called divine knowledge. That was hidden in codes or secret ceremonies, which could only be revealed to certain people. We have modern equivalents of the ancient Gnostic cults in our day, like Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Scientology, and Christian Science, which is neither Christian nor science, which teach many of the very same things that these ancient heretics taught over 1900 years ago. So we can see that although the heresy of Gnosticism is ancient, it is by no means extinct. Now, many of these modern groups have tried very hard over the last several years to try their best to blend in with Christianity. But we have to be faithful, beloved, to sound a clear trumpet and with love and gentleness, be faithful to teach that these cults are not Christian. And the reason that we can say this is because their view of grace, the character and nature of God the Father, and the person and work of Jesus Christ is radically different from what the Bible declares to be true. So even though many of these people are nice and some of them are even moral, they are at odds with divine revelation over serious issues of eternal matters. And that's not okay. The fourth verse of Jude tells us that these certain persons will creep into the church who will attack the gospel along these lines. And the Gnostics did this late in the first century and early in the second. I have a very in-depth study on all seven of the major heresies that I think is about 54 messages. And if you would like a copy, call or write and let me know and I'll send one to you. Now, while God used both Paul and Peter, James and Barnabas to defend the faith against both the Judaizers and the Antinomians, it fell primarily to the Apostle John to defend biblical Christianity against the attack of the Gnostics. So part of the reason that John wrote this epistle that we're studying was to teach the men and women of the early church how to deal with Gnosticism whenever it reared its ugly head. Now, there is much about Gnosticism that is very complicated and hard to grasp, but if you can get this main point, you can get the gist of what Gnosticism is and why the church fought against it in the first century. The Gnostics did not believe that men are saved from their sins by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ alone. The Gnostics believed and taught that saving faith was the result of receiving or of being enlightened to hidden or secret information. It was buried in codes among the ancient writings of the Gnostic mystics. The Gnostics did not believe in the words of Scripture, so they fought against the inspired writings of the apostles and the Old Testament prophets and attacked the authenticity of the Bible. And they still do that today. This is why the Christian Scientists and the Mormons and all the other Gnostic cults are alive today, and they have the other revelations, what they call other revelations about Jesus, which are outside the orthodox and inspired writings that came from the heart and the mind of God. The Gnostics believed back then that all spirit was good and that all flesh was bad. This is why they taught that Christ was not a real live human being, because that would have made him evil and sinful because he was flesh. They taught that Christ was nothing more than a spiritual concept, not a literal human being. And this is why John wrote 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. So I want to read those verses again. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, when I was first saved back in the early 1970s, I thought that these verses had to do with Ouija boards and seances and astrology and things like that. And whereas those things are indeed evil and believers should have no part with them, the Apostle John was writing very specifically here of the Gnostics, who had infiltrated the church and were teaching that Jesus was not a real live human being. So John instructs the believers of the first century how dangerous the Gnostics were by telling them in verse 2 that anyone who is truly born again has to believe and they have to confess that Jesus Christ was not only God, but he was also a real live human being. Now please hear me on this, beloved. The comprehension of Jesus in both his full humanity and his full deity is the source of probably more misunderstanding and false teaching than any other concept in the Bible. And that is why we need to get this right. In order to fully grasp what the Bible teaches about Jesus, we have to try to grasp this concept. Jesus was and is the most unique person in all of history. No one was ever like Jesus, and no one ever could be like him. In fact, Jesus was so special and so unique that words had to be invented to try to describe him. For example, the word incarnate didn't even exist until God became a man. The terms virgin birth and divinity came into use by the Christian church to try to grasp one of the most mysterious acts in all creation. And John puts it this way in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 14 he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." So this Word that John says in verse 1 was with God and that was God was also in verse 14 made flesh and become human. 700 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah said that this Word would be born of a virgin, and Luke testifies in his gospel account that Mary was that virgin, and that Jesus was Emmanuel. So as unusual as this may seem to us as humans, we are left with inspired scripture clearly teaching us that God Almighty became human, that God became a man, that God took on human flesh, that God draped flesh around himself and was born as a man. And this should take our breath away. This should cause us to wonder after God, to be amazed at God, to fear him and love him and seek to obey him. Those who can read what John says here and act as though this is no big deal are not realizing the significance of what the Apostle John was saying here. And the fact that after 2,000 years of this being true, today, the person of Jesus Christ is the single most debated and misunderstood and attacked concept in the whole Bible. So when we talk about Jesus, we have to realize that we're talking about a person who is not like anybody else. The 3rd century theologian John Chrysostom said this about Jesus, quote, "Jesus is fully God and fully man in the same body at the same time without conflict or contradiction." The Apostle John wrote in John 3:16 that Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. And actually, that translation is not as good as it could be, because in the Greek, John was actually saying that Jesus was the one and only of the Father. Once again, showing us the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Now, usually false teachings and false religions attack the deity of Jesus Christ, and they're perfectly willing to agree that Christ was a good man, or even a prophet, or an angel, or an example. But all wrongly agree on one point. They all agree that Jesus could not and was not God. But Jesus said that he was God. And the apostles said that he was God. And Jesus allowed people to worship him. And so if Jesus was not God, if Jesus was simply a good moral man or an angel or even a prophet, then he's a liar. And he was encouraging idolatry by allowing people to worship him. The cults and the false religions have done a good job of confusing this issue in the mind of many people today, and that's just a shame. There was a time when people who went to church were taught these things, and the church and the nation was much stronger back then. Today we have filled our churches with entertainment, easy sermons, which make no demands upon our lives, and the result is that we don't know divine truth, and the cults are growing by double digits. In the study on the history of heresy that I was talking to you about, you will learn that there was a time when the church was so passionate about the issue of the deity of Jesus Christ that they were willing to fight for 42 years over one letter of one Greek word being added to their doctrine, because to add that one letter to that one word would have diminished the way we understood the fact that Jesus was fully God. Today we are willing to accept anyone into the church as being believers, even if they resolutely deny the deity of Jesus Christ, and I find that to be unbelievable. Many of us may be confused about the divinity of Jesus Christ today, but the Jews who persecuted Jesus were not confused at all. They knew full well what Jesus was unashamedly making the claim that he was God, and that is precisely why the Jews wanted to kill him. What is strange, though, is that the Gnostic heretics of John's day fully accepted the deity of Jesus. They rejected his humanity. And that is why John writes here to warn us that those who deny that Jesus has come in the flesh are not from God. So, Lord willing, we're going to get into that in more detail on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.